Owen Smith, the Shadow Northern Ireland Secretary, has told the House that the Secretary of State should not cut MLA pay in the absence of devolution. Let's just have a listen to what he said.
Can I urge him also to resist, given what he said today, short-term pressure to cut MLA's pay? Cutting politician pay is always a popular thing to argue for, but we need, Mr Deputy Speaker, this generation of Northern Irish politicians to work and talk together to try and bring about power sharing. And whilst he's right, the patience is wearing thin in Northern Ireland, he should resist steps that would undermine the ability of the parties to negotiate and engage, particularly the smaller parties.
Owen Smith is with us now. Good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
So, let's get this right. Everyone else who has to go to work to get paid, and they have to do their full job to get paid, they're listening to you this morning, despite the fact that MLAs could not find compromise and their money keeps on rolling in. That's what you're saying, Owen?
Yeah, and what's your question, Stephen?
Well, my question is, how do you think that will go down with the working man and woman who has to do a full day's work to get paid?
Well, I'm sure if you put it like that, then it goes down badly with the working man and woman, because arguing the politician shouldn't be paid in any event is probably a popular thing to argue for. And in circumstances where the Assembly is not working, then it's obviously a very simple argument to make and a very popular argument to make. But the point I was making to James Brokenshire yesterday is I think he should, as I said in the clip, resist what is, you know, short-term and populist step that could result in people not being able to engage properly, people not being able to work as negotiators to try and get the Assembly back up and running, and ultimately will be a long-term disbenefit to Northern Ireland, unless you want to subscribe to the view that we don't need politicians, we just carry on with the civil service running things. But I don't think long-term, if people thought about it, they'd be happy with that, because obviously people want their decisions to be accountable. And we just heard a minute ago, I thought, a very well-made argument that important issues like Irish language and gay marriage, very divisive issues in Northern Ireland, won't be dealt with either by DEC rule or civil servants. You've got to get the institutions back up and running if you ever want to deal with those issues. And if you're asking people to negotiate free, as it were, on a voluntary basis, well, that's just not realistic.
But they've been
having to get other jobs.
Oh, and they've been negotiating in this round of negotiations for 10 months now.
Yeah, agreed. And it's, you know, not acceptable that they can't come to an agreement.
So where's the leverage?
Well, the leverage has to be political. The leverage has to be that these are people who want to serve Northern Ireland and they are communities and they can't do so. And their communities should be, are putting pressure on them to do a deal in order to be able to exercise power accountably on their behalf. But frankly, cutting their pay, and you know, unless we're talking about cutting their pay altogether, it'll just be a trim. And it will just be, frankly, a sop to people who are arguing that you should cut their pay for something to do. You might as well argue to get rid of Stormont altogether.
Naomi Long, the leader of the Alliance Party, said in this programme at the beginning of the week that MLA pay should be cut immediately by 30%.
Yeah, well, again,
because 30% would represent, obviously there's constituency business that the MLAs are still doing, but 30% would represent at least what they should be doing if there was an Assembly.
Yeah, and you can make arguments around that. And the last Labour government, of course, in which I was an advisor, did do this. There was a trim of pay in the last period when you had direct rule. I think I'm just trying, you know, look, I was bluntly trying to make a bigger point to you, which is that we must get the Assembly up and running. Direct rule is a massive retrograde step for Northern Ireland. Everybody can see that. And every sinew has to be bent in order to try and get it back. And frankly, things like MLA pay is a distraction. Because, as I said, you could equally argue, get rid of all of the support staff, you know, turn out the lights of Stormont, put it into cotton wool and wait for it to come back. And in this instance, it's perfectly possible, unfortunately, that we have a long period of standoff between the parties. You know, that's something that few people are willing to admit at the moment, but that is possible, in which case it would become even harder to get things back up and running.
How long can this country go on for without ministers?
Not much longer, I think, is the truth. Because there are, well, that ultimately means you end up with direct rule. And that really is the
pressure. Have we not got direct rule? Tell me how we've not got direct rule in all but name. Yeah, so Brokenshire's going to set the budget.
I'm not going to argue with you about that. His argument, of course, is that he hasn't, in as much as he's largely going to follow the example, the lead set by the last budget for the Assembly. In reality, what we've got is tantamount to direct rule, you know, because the only decision-making point will now be the civil service under the direction of the Northern Ireland office.
Here's Dennis, here's Dennis from Whitehead wants to speak to you. Morning, Dennis.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, these guys have had 10 months of full pay. Full pay. Not a reduced pay, a full pay. Now we're heading on to the end, towards the end of December, when it'll be a full 12 months. There's no pressure been put on them to get back and sort things out. They should have dealt with this last January when they closed down the Assembly. Secretary of State at that stage should have said, OK, you have 6 months. At the end of 6 months, that's it. The pay is finished. They've got to have some push behind them. And the push behind them will be the fact that the money's stopping. This business has simply gone on to pay them. The taxpayer has to go to work to pay these people.
Well, you've heard Owen Smith's argument that but we should not do that because we would lose them. We would lose their expertise long term.
Well, what did I tell you, Stephen? Whenever there's an election about this place, there's no shortage of people starting in constituencies. I don't see any constituency here without a handful of people starting for election. There's no shortage of them. There's nobody. There's no constituency here where there's nobody stands. Is there?
You're angry.
I am angry because people have to go to work and get up out of their bed and pay taxation. It's not whether you want to pay it. It's taken out of your salary. You have to pay it. And a certain amount of that is going to pay this crowd that are jolly and running about, going here, talking there.
Dennis, thank you. June and Banbridge next. Morning, June.
Good morning.
You can speak directly to Owen Smith this morning. He's saying do not cut the MLA pay.
Well, Owen, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. See, if you cut off the blood supply, they'll not belong in getting back into work again and really working for the people on the ground. They need to stop paying these people. I don't care if they're in their wee offices doing anybody jobs. They need to be back in there. We need our schools, our hospitals back up and working. Just cut the blood supply right away.
Owen?
No money. If they're not going to work, they're not getting their
money. Let's let Owen speak to you.
Yeah, well, if I was persuaded that that would work, then I'd be arguing for it. But I'm not necessarily persuaded that it would work. I think it would satisfy a lot of people who feel, understandably, really, really cheesed off that they've elected an assembly and it isn't doing its job. And I think they're right to feel frustrated and cheesed off about that. But what they want, ultimately, I presume, as we've gestured, is decisions about hospitals and roads and all the rest of it, about housing taken. And the question, therefore, is what's the most likely way to bring that about? And I'm not persuaded the simple answer of simply cutting their pay would do the business.
Well, Owen, no disrespect to you, but ask the people of Northern Ireland. They all agree. No pay, no more pay. People are fed up. You know, the ordinary working class people, going out to work, doing their desk job, getting their pay, and they're sitting there and fighting and arguing over stupid things. Stop the pay, they'll soon go back in there. People can't pay their mortgage like the ordinary man on the street would. They'll not belong going in there. I'd like, no disrespect to you, but the people of Northern Ireland have enough of them getting paid.
Can you imagine, Owen Smith, the reaction there would be if the people who worked for the public service in Northern Ireland said, right, well, look, we're going to take a stand on this. It's public money that is paying us too, so we're going to stop doing 30% of our job. But we expect to be fully paid. And by the way, don't sack us because you don't want to lose our experience. Can you not apply the same logic to public servants up and down the country?
Not really.
Why not? What's so special about a politician?
I was about to answer you. Because we are asking them to continue on working in trying to negotiate the deal between the parties. We're not saying that there isn't a job for them to do. They've obviously got the constituency work that they currently do, but they've also got a job. Not all of them, admittedly, but the ones who are at the top of their parties and involved, you know, quite a lot of them actually, involved in the process of negotiating a fresh agreement. And I don't think it's realistic to expect them to do that without pay.
The field.
But more importantly, Stephen, my argument is I don't think cutting their pay would necessarily prompt agreement. You know, I don't think that's a thing that's holding things up, the fact that they feel comfortable right now.
Well, Peter Hain said it worked in 2006.
Well, I'm not sure that's right either, because I was there for 3 years prior to Peter Hain, and I think the reality is lots of things change in that period, and I don't think a substantive element of it was cutting the
All right, well, look, you are the shadow Northern Ireland secretary, so call it. How long before Brokenshire should appoint a ministerial team?
Well, there's a different question. I don't think Brokenshire has handled this brilliantly to date.
Well, of course you're going to say that, but let's get an answer from you. How long?
Well, I think he probably needs to give it another couple of months through to Christmas, and early in the new year, I suspect he will then be talking about putting in direct rule ministers.
So you think he should... It's your judgment, not what you think he's going to do. What should he do? You think he should bring in a ministerial team in the new year, shortly after Christmas?
I think that depends, Stephen, on where we are in the talks and whether he thinks that he's close to getting agreement or not. That's the key question. And if it looks exactly the same, and bluntly, I've been saying publicly and privately for a period now that I didn't think the parties were going to do a deal. I said at the UUP conference just a week or so ago that I felt that they may feel, the major parties, that there were more benefits in sitting outside leadership right now and arguing the toss than going in particular, perhaps for Sinn Féin.
But why is there not even a hard deadline on anything in Northern Ireland anymore in politics? Here we are asking you, the Shadow of Secretary, look, when should a ministerial team come in? And you're saying, well, it depends if he thinks there's maybe improvement in the talks and he thinks there's going to be a deal. How about a hard deadline in Northern Ireland? No deal by this stage. This is what's happening no matter what.
Yeah, but I could be facile and argue that, couldn't I? But the reality is we've got devolution in Northern Ireland. It's a very major, important thing that we are missing right now. All politicians at all levels have to try and get devolution back. And simply arguing for the sake of chat show hosts on radio stations or indeed public popularity that we'll have a deadline, and if they haven't agreed, tough, they lose their money, and we won't have devolution any longer. That will be a hugely retrograde step.
I wonder if you need to...
is being rational and reasonable and trying to bring back devolution, which is what, in fairness, the Secretary of State and the Irish government and the parties are trying to do.
Yeah, but Owen, I wonder if you need to come and spend some more time in Northern Ireland, because there is a genuine anger here from the public that deadline after deadline after deadline moves. That when James Brokenshire says, right, they've got until this date, and then it moves, they've got that the whole definition of a deadline in Northern Ireland is farcical.
That's true, Stephen, but are you telling me, because you live there, are you telling me that there is a genuine desire cross-border and across community, rather, to see direct rule instituted instead?
Well,
I don't hear that. I hear the anger, but I hear very mixed views about what should replace it.
Well, of course there are mixed
views. And I hear mixed views about whether direct rule is the answer.
Of course there are mixed views.
A simple thing for the British government to do would be simply say, right, it's not working, we'll put ministers back in. But that, as we all know, would be turning our back on the progress of the last 15 years.
Alan McQuillan sat on the pay review body. What do you make of the Shadow Secretary's argument this morning, Alan? Keep the MLA pay where it is. We need to hold on to the expertise, the acumen, the political experience that we've got in Northern Ireland.
What expertise and what acumen? I hear Owen saying about the benefits of the last 15 years. We haven't seen the benefits of the last 15 years. Since the Assembly was reconstituted in 2007, it's actually achieved very little. Now, okay, we don't have violence anymore, and we all welcome that. But there has to be something more in life than that. And I think it's absolutely disgraceful to suggest that it's only just because of chat show hosts wanting to see their pay stopped for basically a headline. That's not the case. I'm out there every day and I get people coming up to me and saying to me, they've got to stop the pay, they've got to stop the pay, this is disgraceful. The people in Northern Ireland who vote are absolutely disgusted at what's happened, and they're absolutely disgusted that people are still sitting there getting their pay. It brings politics into disrepute. It has totally undermined the credibility of Stormont. And to think that this has been now regarded as a farce among the general community, So just to continue this, in my view, without an absolutely clear deadline, is it's up to the Secretary of State, but it's pointless. It won't achieve anything.
Well, James Brokenshire, of course, has said that he's going to take independent advice on this now, on the issue of MLA pay.
Forgive me, we have a Secretary of State employed to take decisions in the government of Northern Ireland, and he's taking independent advice because he doesn't want to take a decision. Now, I can understand. He wants to keep politics here, local politics, on some sort of a respirator to try and keep it going. But the bottom line is this process has failed. This government process has failed. And it's sad to see it. But we have people here, Stephen, who are dying because of the deficiencies in our health service, and nothing is being done to fix them. We have people who are suffering in all sorts of ways in our society through the lack of decent, fair, reasonable government for everybody. We need to fix that, and the British government has a legal obligation to do that as well.
And the community worker, Jim Wilson. Morning to you, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Stephen, I met Owen, I don't know if he remembers, on the 12th of July this year, and had a conversation with him on the Newton Orange Road, along with John Kyle and others. And I think he's got this totally wrong. I think it's one of the first times I remember the two communities shouting from the treetops that, you know, if this doesn't get fixed, then these people should not be paid. And I think that's coming from all of our communities. And the biggest percentage of people out in those streets are simply saying, if you can't sort out what these problems are and we have to turn around and lose money through health, education, all the rest of it, then you will have to lose your jobs and your money. So, personally, I think Owen needs to re-look at it again.
Owen Smith does have a point, though, Jim, that the political experience that some of these politicians hold is massive, is valuable. They've been around the corners many, many times.
Yes, Stephen, but it's like anything else. Maybe that intransigence that's there within maybe the two parties, maybe some of that needs to have new politicians coming through with new thinking, new thoughts. And there's a plus and there's a minus on what you've just said. And you have to remember, it doesn't always be the plus, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I know that we have got good experienced politicians up that represent me and represent the nationalist community. But when you have two communities at the minute, and if you take a census, and you may have done this in your programme last night, if you'd have took a census in that audience, which is very well mixed, I would say that the biggest percentage of people in that audience would have said, take the money off them. If they're not going to get a deal, if they're not going to be able to work this country forward, and then the people's going to lose out is the people in health and education in this country. And that's not fair to anyone. It doesn't matter how much they're on and how much they're earning. They need to deliver what their job is, their job entitlement is.
Do you want to respond to that, Owen?
On a couple of things. One, I completely agree with Jim, and I do remember meeting him on the 12th, but I completely agree that the majority view in Northern Ireland amongst the public is they should cut their pay. Under no illusions as to how unpopular it is to argue that that's wrong. But I nevertheless am arguing that it's wrong, and I think the role of politicians is to offer leadership. I don't necessarily think it is equally about the experience that will be lost, although I think it's not true to say that if you got rid of this generation of politicians, a new generation would spring up, because we're not overwhelmed, especially in some of the smaller parties, with new people coming into politics. So you would be losing a cadre of people who have got experience. But I think it is a practical point I'm making, which is there is a job of work to be done negotiating a new deal. The Secretary of State is asking those people to do that. He's said explicitly yesterday that although this round of talks has broken down, and I don't think the talks have been well handled by the government, I've said that repeatedly, the fact that the Prime Minister has had no engagement is testament to the fact that it's been badly handled. But he is asking them still to carry on negotiating, and I don't think it's realistic to cut their pay and ask them to carry on negotiating. And I think it is a short-term...
Yeah, but should there be a deadline?
The problem with deadlines is they haven't been working, have they? Because the politicians clearly... And here is the real issue. Have those parties decided that they don't want to do a deal? That's the $64,000 question. Or in terms of the cost of MLA salaries, the $5.4 million pound question. You know, have they decided they don't want to do a deal? That's the key decision the Secretary of State has to make.
Which is why
they have decided that. he has to then think about how the Assembly
is revived. Which is why, Owen...
And a short-term populist decision to cut their salaries just because there's a bit of a public clamour for it, I think is, you know, short-sighted thinking.
But in the context of you saying, look, have they decided they don't want to do a deal with each other? That's why I want to push you one more time on what I believe is a key question. Should there be a date, a hard date, at which time Brokenshire appoints a ministerial team? James Brokenshire appoints a team. So do you believe that, for example, between now and Christmas, that's the leeway they have, and do you believe after Christmas James Brokenshire should go for full direct rule with a ministerial team?
I think James Brokenshire should lay out, and I think he should have done it long since, a roadmap to how he's trying to try and get the Assembly back with staging posts, which result ultimately in ministers from the British government running Northern Ireland. But I think he needs to spell out what he means about a shadow Assembly, a role for Assembly members in potentially scrutinising.
You're not answering the question.
Well, I am answering the question.
You're not. Well, let me focus what the question is. When do you think, in terms of a hard deadline, do you think that should be set by James Brokenshire in terms of him bringing in a full ministerial team? Do you think, for example, January should be when that happens if there is no deal?
Well, I did say earlier on when you asked me that question, the new year, didn't I? I said that I think he's got until Christmas to try and get the next round of negotiations up and running. And in the new year, he will need to be thinking about putting in direct rule ministers.
Thinking about it or doing it?
Well, as I said earlier on, that would depend on where he is in the process at that point. But I do think, if you let me finish the answer, Steve, I do think that he should be laying out a roadmap in which it's clear what the end point would be, and he needs to start talking to the parties about what that would be.
And yet you won't be clear when it should be. You're asking him to do something. Well, you know, if your party is ready for government.
If it would move things on, I'd say January the 3rd, wouldn't I, or January the 14th. But it's a nonsense for me to say that, Stephen, so there's little point in doing it, because the process, as you know, doesn't bend to individual dates. What I am saying is that in the new year, not going to give you a precise date, but in the new year, meaning January or February or before the spring, certainly, he is going to have to put in ministers, because there are decisions that have to be taken in Northern Ireland, and we cannot run into a second year, effectively, of major decisions about road and other developments that need to be undertaken without ministerial decisions.
Here's Brian in Lisburn. Let me bring in Brian.
To make clear.
Good morning, Stephen. Owen, I'm sitting here incredulous that a would-be English socialist can turn around and tell us, the people in Northern Ireland, that we are stuck where we are, have to vote Sinn Féin or DUP. We have a third of our population voted for other parties, and they've been ignored. And you're sitting there trying to force a dictatorship on us where these two parties have to have a say. Why not include the whole of Northern Ireland? Get rid of these guys, bring direct rule in if you have to, but we need a democracy here, not your sort of made-up idea of look after my mates.
Well, they're not my mates.
And the last time I looked at Owen, he wasn't English either.
Well, I don't know what he is, but let me tell you, he's certainly not putting his foot in iron here.
And I don't quite get the point you're making. If you're making the point that we need to make sure that we've got all communities represented in the governance of Northern Ireland, then I totally agree with you about that. If you're making the point that... Well, I don't think that the answer to reflecting the entire community is to have English ministers or Welsh ministers from Wales and England running the affairs of Northern Ireland.
OK, Brian, thank you. Jude next. Morning, Jude.
Stephen, how are you?
OK, thank you. Go
Stephen,
ahead.
Stephen, my point is they're talking about these people complaining about the way Northern Ireland is run with these two parties. Right. If you have an election in the morning, the people are complaining now that we're talking about the way they're running the government. There's no deal. If they had an election in the morning, they'd vote the same two parties in again. So why are they complaining about it? See the point?
So what you're saying is if there was an election tomorrow, people would vote the same and put the two big parties that are going about back in the
power. And you know that. You're a long time giving interview. You know that vote back in DUP and Sinn Féin. The simple way is vote somebody else in. That's a simple.
Jude, thank you. If only it were simple in Northern Ireland. Nothing's simple. when you talk about politics in Northern Ireland. Owen Smith, thank you very much indeed for coming on this morning. We appreciate it.